And it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. So this is the day, the scriptures say very clearly that Jesus rose early on the first day of the week. Okay, and some people like to argue about that, but that's what it says. And we all know the first day of the week is Sunday. Okay, so this is happening on the same day. So on the evening of that day, what day? The resurrection, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were together because of their fear of the Jews. But Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples kept looking at the Lord and were full of joy. And again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is actually quite an amazing passage of scripture. There's a lot in here which we'll unpack a little bit later about the breathing on the apostles and what that meant. But there's several interesting things that come out of this scripture. The place of fear to the place of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which then leads to the peace of God, which leads to the joy of the Lord, which then leads to the impartation of his Spirit as well, okay, and life. And so I want to kind of break those little sections down. Because the first thing I want to speak about actually today is fear. Fear is like a contagion. We've seen that back in the day, didn't we? What fear can do to people. And it's destructive. It's like catching the plague. So you sneeze on someone and then they've got it. I remember once as a leader that I just said something once to my leadership team, which was just had a little bit of fear in it. And immediately they all became really fearful. And I was like, whoa, I've really got to watch what I say, because fear is like a contagion. It can just spread. The disciples were frightened because as far as they were concerned, Jesus was now declared like an outlaw. He'd been murdered or put to death. And now his disciples, they were probably on the watch list to be the next ones to get crucified. So they were like hiding literally for their lives. But when you're in a place of fear, you do irrational things. We hide, don't we? You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had sinned. And what did they do to the omnipresent, all-knowing, all-seeing God? They hid behind a tree. "You'll never see us behind here." Okay? Because that's what sin does. It makes you do stupid and erratic things. People of fear do stupid things. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Because everyone in this room has fears that you're all dealing with. And all those fears are different. They look different from person to person. But you're all dealing with those fears. And here's the thing. You see, all of you are like clear, transparent glass to God. He can see right through you. He can see absolutely everything. Even the stuff that you don't want him to know, your deepest, darkest, dirtiest, filthiest fears, he can see it laid right before him. We don't like to admit that those things are inside us. We like to pretend that they're not real, but they are real. And they make you do goofy things. That's what fear does. It makes you act irrational and do silly things. Everyone in this room, be honest with yourself. Does it not make you do silly things? Yes. Exactly. It makes you irrational in your behavior. Fear is a powerful thing. I would even call it inverted faith. Faith is what moves God, who can move mountains. But fear is when you give something, you put faith in something that it has power greater than God to harm you. Basically, is what it is. Fear is the belief that something has greater power to harm you than what God can deliver you from. That is basically what fear is. Now, just to bore you, I know, you know some of you have heard this story a load of times. It's like, sorry for the people in this congregation. Oh, here he goes again. But when I died the second time, it really affected me in a bad way. The first time it didn't really bother me, but the second time it really affected me in a bad way. And I just had this sense of terror and foreboding on me all the time. Terror of what? Foreboding of what? That literally I could die. It's like, does it call it Damocles' dagger? So it's like this dagger was just hanging over by a thread over my head. In each day, any moment, without any warning, it could just, you're dead. I had this constant fear, this constant specter that was always over my shadow, that was constantly saying, today could be the day that you are going to die. Every single day. Some days were easier, other days were harder, but that was the nonsense that I had to live with all of the time. And it made me act irrationally, made me do stupid things, made me be like a complete wimp to my wife, because she doesn't like wimpy men, she likes strong men. All right? So it made me act, just do stupid things and act completely irrational. Fear is terrible. You might have a fear of dying. You may have a fear of loneliness, the fear of growing up, getting older, and not marrying. All kinds of weird phobias and fears that we have, they paralyze us. They cause us to get into a place of lack of faith, and they make us do stupid, goofy things. Amen? Fear is not good. But never mind, because Sunday's coming. You see, those guys, I want you to picture this for a minute. These disciples, they're finally, it's like, we've been chosen. We've seen the Messiah with our own eyes. We've seen signs and wonders. Maybe this is the deliverance of the scriptures, of the Messiah. It's going to deliver Israel from the occupation of Rome. And it's going to be great. And he's going to usher in the kingdom of God. And then suddenly he dies. And I want you to think about that. Suddenly your spouse dies. Suddenly someone you love dies. Suddenly all your dreams and your aspirations and your hopes and your ambitions suddenly, without warning, stops. And it's heart-wrenching and it's gut-wrenching. And this is how they were feeling. But Sunday's coming, right? And then Jesus suddenly appeared among them and said, "Peace be among you." You know, when Jesus gets involved in our lives, things tend to go a lot better, yeah? Even on my worst day with Jesus is 1,000 times better than on my worst day without him. That's really true, saints. Your worst day with Christ is 1,000 times better than your worst day without him. I still remember what life was like before I knew Jesus, and it sucked. It was bad. I don't even know how I got out of bed in the morning. I don't know how I made it from one end of the week to the other. I don't even know how I look at people in the world. I just don't know how they manage to live their lives. It's like they're barely living. Jesus has come that you might have life and life in abundance. And most people are not walking in abundant life. They are just literally just dragging themselves from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday. And that is not God's best for you. That's not to make you feel bad because you've done something wrong. It means he's got more for you than that. He's got more for you than that. Man, you've got to believe this stuff. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. All right? It's not for slavery that he's like, well, you can get free of slavery when you die. Okay? It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. That same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is at work, present tense, in your mortal, not your immortal, body, giving you life. Hallelujah. The word there for life in the Greek is zoe, life. It's an overflowing, effervescent, consuming life. Amen? Yes. You see, the peace of God, when Jesus said, you know, my peace I give you, Jesus doesn't like say like these quotations at random. He's not saying, oh, hi, guys. Okay? When Jesus says, peace be with you, he is the living word of God. Jesus said, every one of us will be held accountable for every idle and inoperative word that comes out of our mouth. Every single one of them. When judgment day comes, he's going to be quite a while with me. All this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. You said all this stuff. This was an idle and inoperative word. See, when Jesus speaks, he doesn't say idle and inoperative words. He gets straight to the point and he means what he says. And so Jesus, who is the word of God, if he speaks the word of God and says to you, peace be unto you. It's not a greeting. It's peace be unto you. This peace, as we all know, is that Hebrew word shalom, means the overarching prosperity and goodness of God, so that you're so in the place of God's covering and protection and goodness and kindness that you can't help but be in a place of peace. Amen. Now, the peace of God is a supernatural thing. It is not a state of mind. It is supernatural. I remember this dream once, and I believe God gave it to me to show me just how riddled with fear I was at the time. You see, you need peace. When you've got fear, you've got no peace, have you? See? Some people are admitting they've got fears in their lives. Well done. When you've got fear in your life, you don't have peace. And God wants you to have peace and a sound mind, okay? And many of us don't have peace, and many of us don't have a sound mind. And many of us are happy to carry our baggage around for years and years and years. And it reminds me of this healing evangelist once. He said that he was praying for people, and this woman came up, and she had something wrong with her leg, and she was literally just dragging it. And she came up to the front. He said, "So what would you like healing for?" "I got a problem with my ear." Okay, so he prayed for her ear and a healing, and she got healed and hearing came back. So, "Thank you very much, I'm healed now." And then she started walking off again. And he's like, don't you want me to pray for your leg? And she's like, "No, I can live with that." And that's exactly what we're like, isn't it? "No, I will put up with that. No, I'll live with that." Jesus has come that he might set you free. But you see, it's okay in principle. He's got the freedom for you. But if you don't want that freedom, you ain't going to get it, even though he's already given it to you. It's like someone giving you a beautiful present, but you just haven't bothered to unwrap it yet. Sometimes we blame God, like, "Why isn't this? Why is this?" Well, I've already done it for you. All you've got to do is just take it and open the thing and use the thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, so I had this dream, and in this dream, I was a right wimp. I don't know why, but I was on this ship at the Arctic, and there was some woman there who was like manning the boat, and I was just like lying on the floor, like writhing in fear and holding onto the mast and going, "I'm just so scared of everything. There's icebergs and stuff, and everything's just so scary. Why am I here?" And she was just like, what is up with you?" And in the dream, I just woke up and I just felt God saying, "You are riddled with fear and you need to be delivered of it and you need to work through stuff." I'll be honest with you. It seems that when I get rid of one fear, it's like whack-a-mole. Another one pops up. Now I'm working on another one at the moment. I was working one a couple of weeks ago. I got over that one. Now I'm working on another one. It's like, how long do I have to keep doing this? As long as it takes. because there are things that are going on deep inside of you. When you get rid of some stuff, other stuff that's been pushed down because of the other stuff has now got chance to, I can have a look in now. Okay, and you've got to deal with that stuff as well. God's, you see, when I was walking around after that second heart attack, you know, I was walking around with that fear and that trauma, and I did everything that I could. You know, I was a good Christian. I stood on the word. I listened to healing scriptures. I did all the things that you know that you should do, and it didn't work, but I know that it should work, and I just kept pressing in, and it just didn't work, and walked around with this fear every single day of my life. And then I was actually here at prayer school. I said, I was like, being a wimp. And another fear. And so these women said, "Oh, well, you know what? We're not putting out, it's always women, isn't it? We're not putting up with this, you wimpy men." So they came over to me and they prayed for me. And, you know, it wasn't lightning or anything like that. It was just like a nice, gentle prayer. And then, I don't seem to be fearful anymore. But I thought, he'll probably just come back in about an hour's time. Great man of faith that I am. But then by the end of the week, I still had no fear. Then another week went by, still no fear. And here I am months and months later, and still no fear. God's delivered me from that fear supernaturally. Amen? So now I have peace. I'm at a place now where I'm like, if I drop dead, I drop dead. I feel bad for my wife, mind, but I'm not fearing it anymore. It's just like, well, there you go. But I know that I'm not going to drop dead. I know I've got a long life ahead of me, and I've got lots of things to do. Whenever I try and die or something, Jesus always says to me, "You're not dying because you've got work to do." Now, I'm not really into that word work. So every time he says it, it's like, "Oh, come on, really? Can't I have a rest?" No, you've got work to do. And so have you. You've all got work to do. You can't be sat around on your backside all day because you're like struggling with your fears and feeling sorry for yourself. Amen? Jesus has got work for us. He's got good works that he created before the foundation of the world for every one of us to do. Amen. You have a destiny in Christ. This is not some charismatic spiel. The Bible says he created you for good works in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth. Amen? Amen. Sounds a little bit unfair, isn't it? But I didn't want to do that job. Never mind. It's already been prepared for you, son. Get on with it. Okay. And so, also many years ago, I used to suffer from paranoia. And it just used to always eat away at me, you know. I just think people were saying things about me, thinking things about me. I mean, they probably were, to be fair. But it just drove me mad. to the point someone would send me a text and I'd be like, what do they mean by that? And I was trying to read something into it. And I just like have arguments with people. And they're like, dude, that's not what I meant at all. I was so in a bad place. And one day I just come to the end of my tether and I said, Jesus, I can't carry on like this. Surely Christianity has an answer for this. Surely. And I was just really blunt and honest with God. And then something was going on. I can't quite put my finger on it. And then 2 weeks later, I remember sitting at the beach on a bench, looking out at the sea, and the sun was yay high in the sky. It was in the evening. And I just suddenly realized, it's gone. The paranoia has gone. And I've never had it since. So God, sorry, that's a really bad joke, but it's true. God healed me and delivered me of my paranoia. Everyone else is here. They've seen that joke 1,000 times. They're like, oh, we've sung that so many times now. But God heals. God is here to heal. And that's what Resurrection Day is about. It's not just about eternal life, but it's about life in the here and the now as well. Sometimes we're always thinking about, oh, by and by when I die and I go to glory. That's not, it's eternal life is knowing God, John 17:3, which means that's in the here and the now as well as in the never after, or forever after rather, not the never after. So there's also this tension as well when it comes to peace with God and believing in God. Is there's a thing called faith and patience. You don't hear many faith preachers preach about this one, do they? They always preach about faith. They don't preach about patience. You see, Abraham, 75-year-old guy, right? Just about managed to leave home in his 70s. And God said to him, I'm going to give you a son. It's like, whoopee, yeah, I'm going to have a kid. But, you know, I'm just going to take my time about it. I'm just going to wait till it's impossible for you to even have kids and your wife. You'll be 100 and she'll be 99. And then I'll get round to it. Okay, the poor guy was changed. He's had his name changed. He's going around telling everyone, hey, I'm the father of many nations. And they're like, yeah, mate, you haven't even got one yet, let alone many nations. Okay, and he keeps telling everyone, I'm the father of many nations. And they're like, mate, you're cuckoo. Have you heard about that guy down the road who calls himself father of many nations? He hasn't even got a kid yet. Believe in God, that God is going to give him a miracle. And yet, against all hope, when he knew that his body was dead, it says he considered not his own body, even though it was dead. And yet, he trusted that God's word would come to pass. And normally, in those dark times, when you least expect it, that's when Jesus does a miracle. No one expected Jesus to raise from the dead. Nobody. Yeah, they kind of disciples, even though they got told it was going to happen, they didn't expect it. So when they bang, he just suddenly appears. And that's what you've got to be expecting. You've got to expect that any day, the suddenly can happen in your life. I said this before, my wife, you know, she had a bone disease throughout her whole body, where all her joints, it's the opposite to arthritis, where all the joints were inflamed. She was in constant pain. And for 20 years, she just kept saying, I'm walking by faith. Just kept trusting God that he would heal her. And he taught her a lot through that. Faith and patience. And one day she came to touch the communion chalice. And as she touched it, liquid warmth just filled her whole body and God instantly healed her. Amen. But that's faith and that's patience. Because you see, brothers and sisters, let's be honest here. You know, if God gives us a vision or God gives us a prophecy, we're all interested in the destination, aren't we? Just get me to the destination. I don't care about this long, painful journey. Just get me to the destination. But you know what? God isn't really cared about the destination. He's more concerned with the journey. Because it's in the journey where you're going to go through some stuff. It's in the journey where you're going to go through the meat grinder. It's in the journey where character is going to be forged. And God is going to make you into somebody that when you get to the destination, you'll have the muscles to be able to deal and cope with what's coming when you get there. If God was to take you to the place that you really desire to be, but you haven't gone through the character development, you haven't gone through the refiner's fire, and you haven't suffered a bit for it, you will be crushed by it. I'm absolutely serious. You've got to go. Saints, it's okay to suffer some stuff. Because it's in the crucible of fire that God is smelting the dross off us. It's in that crucible. It's in that dark place where you might be in a dark place. But don't regret it. Say, God, here I am in this dark place. I thank you, Jesus, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The scripture says, my God will never fail me or forsake me. Hallelujah. So don't you dare believe that he's forsaken you. Don't you dare think that he's not with you in your trials and tribulations, because he's alive in you. And whatever pain and tears that you're going through, he's feeling and crying it with you. Because he's alive within you. He's not just sat up on a throne completely devoid of emotion and what you're going through. He is a God and he loves you and he is with you and he'll never fail you and he'll never forsake you. Because we got to learn to be content in all circumstances. As it says in Philippians 4, 10 to 13, you know, well, let's go there now quickly. Let's have a quick look at it. It's a great scripture. You know, a lot of people quote this scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's like, well, let's put it in its context, shall we? What's the context of this scripture? I rejoice in the Lord because of your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me before, but you had no opportunity to show it. I do not say this because of being in want, for I have learned to manage with what I have. I know what it is to be in want. I know what it is to live in abundance. I've learned the secret of being content in all situations, to be well fed or hungry, to have much or little, to be shipwrecked and floating at sea for days and days, not knowing if anyone's ever going to rescue me. When I'm being whipped and pummeled for preaching the gospel, he has learned to be content in every situation. Because he can do all things through Christ which strengthens him. And you can do, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Even when it's tough. Even when you don't want to be in that dark place that you're in right now. Amen? Because Sunday is coming. Your deliverer is coming. And you will receive that day of resurrection. And Jesus will come in. And when you think everything's at a loss and everything's come to a grinding halt like the disciples did, wait. Because Jesus is coming. And then with the peace, it says the disciples were filled with joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, if you got no joy, you've got no strength. So if your life, I mean, don't get me wrong, you can have a miserable life and still be filled with the joy of the Lord. Amen. Just like you can be poor and still have a love of money. People think you've got the love of money are those people that are rich. No, you can be poor and have the love of money. Amen. And it's the same here. You can be going through a really bad time, but still have the joy of the Lord in you. Life doesn't have to be easy and light and fun to have the joy of the Lord. If anything, sometimes you need to go through those situations so that you understand what it means to have the joy of the Lord. You see, Jesus learned obedience through suffering. When was the last time you heard a good sermon on suffering? I don't remember any. So Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Some of you are going through the mill right now. Some of you feel like you're in the vise and the vise just keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter. You feel like an olive and they're just, you know, you're in the press and they're just pushing it down until you go bang and all the stuff comes out, right? That's what it feels like, right, for some of you. I know you're feeling this, okay? Some of us are going through some stuff, but there's joy in there. And you know, it's when that olive is crushed, then the oil comes out and the good stuff comes out, praise God. Amen? Chuck away the rubbish and keep the good stuff. You know what they chuck away? The flesh. And they keep the oil. Because if we live by the flesh, it's death. If we live by the Spirit, it's life and joy and peace. Hallelujah. Who would not want to walk by the things of the Spirit? But we don't, do we? We just want to do it our own way. We just want to keep walking in fear. We just want to keep hanging on to those pains because they're our pains and I find my identity in my sickness and in my illness and in my pains. No. Don't you dare say, hi, my name's Steve and I'm an alcoholic. Don't you dare say that. No, my name's Steve, and I am a son of the living God. Hallelujah. A new creation. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. You know, there have been times where I've supernaturally felt the joy of the Lord, because I am not by nature a joyous person, okay? And by nature, I'm not even a half glass full kind of guy. I'm like, oh, it's the end is nigh. Okay, that's the kind of guy that I am, all right? So when God to make me a joyful person, it has to be seriously supernatural, okay? Ask my wife, she'll tell you. But there are times where I've exceedingly felt the joy of the Lord. But you know, with all of these things, you have a choice to make. You can walk in these things or you cannot walk in them. I remember once a long time ago, we finished decorating my house, and this always seems to happen. I don't know why, but every time I do something, someone comes along and tears it down. But anyway, that's not a prophecy, but it's just fact. And so anyway, so I just finished decorating all downstairs. I was really proud of myself for being a man, you know. So I decorated the house. Look at me, I'm a man. And anyway, so I went, I saw some skirting board, and I don't know why I did this, but I just kicked it. And then my foot went through it, and the skirting board burst into powder. I was like, oh no, I know what that is. Dry rot. So I called in the specialists, and they gutted my house. They ripped up all the floorboards. They didn't even take my wallpaper off. They gutted it back to the brickwork. Okay, it looked like, I don't know what it looked like. Just it was depressing. But I felt God say to me, "Well, you've got a choice. You can either loathe in your misery, or you can praise God through this situation." And I thought, well, I know what it's like to loathe in my own misery because I do that every day. So I thought I'll just try it the other way today and see what happens. And I did it God's way. And I was just full of joy. It didn't bother me. There was nowhere to sit because there was no floorboards, right, to put the chairs on. There was nowhere. It's just this big pit. You get in through your front door and it's like, you know, get to the front room. Because all the floorboards are gone. It was awful. Yet in that time, I was just in a complete place of joy. The neighbours were kind to us, that's a miracle, and they brought round food and stuff to us, and it was just a great time, yeah? And the house got redone up and everything was good, because we chose to walk in the joy of the Lord, not to do it man's way and walk in misery. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace and joy. There's joy in the kingdom of God. You know, God isn't Spock. He didn't sit on his throne and go, "That's not funny, that's illogical." He's not like that. He's passionate, he's got emotion, he laughs, he cries, he dances. He's a father, he loves you, he lavishes care upon you. There is joy in the kingdom of God, amen. Not misery, all right? There might be misery sound down here in our kingdom, but there isn't misery in the kingdom of God. It's a joyous place to be. That's why a lot of people that go to heaven, they get a choice. Do you want to come back? No way, I'm staying here, all right? Hallelujah. I'll have to come back, otherwise I'll never hear the end of it. Oh dear, I'm in trouble now. If you're not feeling much joy in your life, don't worry. Sunday's coming. And then we get to the last bit of that verse in John, which is a really amazing piece of theology in here. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when I first read this, I thought, "Oh, I just see what the Greek says about this." And it's the Greek word enephousizon, and it's only used twice in the whole Bible. Do anyone know where else it's used in the Bible? Genesis, when God breathed life into Adam. So he didn't just go, "Receive the Holy Spirit, boys." Okay, it wasn't that. He didn't just breathe on them. Okay. Something supernatural took place. As God breathed life into Adam, so these guys, when he breathed on them, some say that's when they truly got born again. I don't know if that's true or not. But something fundamental happened in them. It's like they came spiritually alive in a way that they'd never come before. And it was like they were now made, whereas the first Adam had that Ruach breathed into him and he became a living soul. Now Jesus is breathed into Jesus, who is now the second Adam. The last Adam has breathed life into these disciples. And they've become this new creation in the likeness of the of this new Adam. He imparted life to them, hallelujah. So the disciples, they come from the place of fear. Then they come to the place of peace, the revelation of Jesus. Then they come to the place of peace and then joy. And then God imparted a miracle to them and gave them new life. And the Spirit is saying to some of you right now that it's time for you to have new life. Amen. You have been walking around in a cloud of darkness for years and years and years, and God is saying, enough is enough. He is declaring time on it for you. God wants you to come out of this place of darkness, and he wants you to come into this place of freedom, and he's going to blow a new breath of life into you, a new breath of hope and joy and freshness into your life. Hallelujah. And the same for those people that are watching it, this program. Some of you are feeling in a terrible place, in a dark place right now, claustrophobic, like the walls are coming in on you. But Jesus is there for you. Call out for the living God and he will save you. He will help you. Your Redeemer is here today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The scriptures also say, call upon the Lord while he is near. And the Lord is here. He's near. You can feel his spirit in the room. So when his presence is here, don't just go, well, I'll just wait till next Sunday. Man, get it now. Hallelujah. Get it now. Amen. See, today, it's Sunday, and it's Resurrection Day today. Sunday's come. Sunday is here. The Deliverer is here. The Son of the Morning Star, the Son of Righteousness is here. The one that can make a way where there is no way is here. The Deliverer, the one that will fight on your behalf. I love in the Old Testament theology, God is known as the Dread Warrior to the ancient Middle Eastern nations. The Dread Warrior. In other words, you don't want to be on the wrong side of him. And you've got him on your side. He is here to fight your battles, to deliver you. Hallelujah, praise God. Bring redemption, bring healing, bring wholeness, bring joy, bring hope, bring faith into your life and bring peace back to you. Amen? Amen. This is the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Right, let's all stand. Shake off our little feet. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to do a daisy chain prayer now. So we're going to do one of those awkward moments where we all hold hands. I know you've probably got sweaty, clammy hands, but there we go. So's the next person. Okay. We're going to daisy chain ourselves together. I'm going to pray for us, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit daisy chain his way through us all. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord God, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, for your spirit just to flow through everybody here right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for fresh life, fresh hope, fresh joy, fresh peace, Lord, fresh vitality, Lord, into these people. Lord God, hope, deliverance, Lord God, redemption, Lord Jesus, healing, wholeness, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we just pray you speak life into them right now, Lord God. Oh, we just speak breakthrough over you right now in Jesus' name. Receive that breakthrough in Jesus' name. Receive the good things he has for you. He's already given it to you. It's already done. He's already given you all the treasures of heaven, for you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Lord God, move on these people, we pray in Jesus' name. Move on these people, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for those miracles that these people need in their lives, Lord Jesus. Those miracles of breakthrough, Lord, where some people have just been hanging on and hanging on and hanging on, and they don't think they can hang on for another moment longer, Lord Jesus, and their hands are given out. Lord, I pray you just come through for those people right now. And yes, some of you are even falling, but Jesus is going to catch you. Jesus is going to catch you. Hallelujah. And he's catching you right now. Lord God, let your blessing flow on all these people, Lord Jesus. Let your joy fill these people with joy, Lord God. Unspeakable joy. Fill him with your peace, Lord God. Fill him with your righteousness and fill him with fresh zeal, fresh oil and fresh joy. And all the saints said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.